If you'll get your Bibles out and turn to Acts chapter 12, we'll plan on finishing up this chapter today. And what this chapter is over is the first martyr by an apostle. So the first apostle who is martyred, who is James, the brother of John, one of the sons of thunder, as Jesus called them. So James, the one brother James, was the first to die, and his brother John, who wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation, he was what is supposed to be, supposed and thought to be the last apostle to die. But he did write the very last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. But anyway, that was his brother. And it was Herod the king that had him beheaded. And then, right after that, he had Peter imprisoned. We're not told how long he'd been in prison, but anyway, it was before the Passover, and then it was 8 days of the Passover, and it said here in verse 3 of chapter 12, the days of unleavened bread, but that's referring to the Passover. So then after those 8 days of Passover, then Herod was going to have somewhat of a trial, which, of course, the Sanhedrin would have voted him guilty and adjudged him as guilty, and then they were going to put Peter to death too. So what Herod's plan was, he was just going to kill all of the apostles. They had tried before, not King Herod, but the Sanhedrin, the leadership of the Jews, had tried back in Acts 8. At that time, it was the apostle, it was Saul of Tarsus before he became the apostle Paul, but it was the young man named Saul of Tarsus that the Sanhedrin, the leadership of the Jews, commissioned to go and persecute all the Christians. So at that point, in Acts 8, all of the Christians left Jerusalem except for the apostles. They were not coming after them at that time. But all of the Christians left, and then they taught everywhere they went. They taught people. But now King Herod is going using a different approach. Instead of killing all of the individual members and persecuting them, his thought is to take out the leadership, who are the apostles, and that's his plan. He got one, being the apostle James, but Peter, the next morning is when Peter was going to have this trial, and then they were going to judge him as guilty. And then they were going to put him to death the next day. But that night, God sends an angel that wakes up Peter and obviously either keeps all of the soldiers. He has eight guards guarding him. Yeah, they're in prison. And either puts them to sleep or maybe some kind of suspended animation of some sort. But regardless, they didn't have a clue what happened. Angel came in. He woke Peter up, told him to get his shoes and clothes on. And the chains fell off of his hands and his legs. And they walked right out of that prison. And then Peter thought that he was seeing a vision or a dream. He didn't realize any of this was real until he gets outside and there was a massive door that Kaufman said it took 25 men to shut. It was so heavy to open and close. He said that they didn't even have to guard that door because it was nearly impossible, and they didn't have to worry about anybody breaking in. Took 25 men to open or close it. So they would get it closed, they would lock it, but they didn't even guard the door. It was so secure. But anyway, God, the angel opened the door, and then it shut behind. And then after that time, then the angel disappeared, and then Peter was just out on the street in front of the jail, and then he realized that it wasn't a dream, that it was real, only at that point. And so then he goes to Barnabas's sister's house, and there's a group of Christians that are praying for him. And this is also John Mark's mother. And John Mark is the writer of the Book of Mark. And also, in the Book of Mark, he writes about this young boy who, after Jesus and the apostles eat the Last Supper, they are leaving from the upper room, and he talks about this young boy that hears them, and he gets out of bed, and he doesn't have any night clothes on or anything, so he just wraps up in a sheet, and he walks behind in the dark, because here this is at midnight, and goes to the Garden of Gethsemane with the apostles and Jesus, and follows them up there. And then when Jesus is arrested, all of the apostles flee Jesus. And so Jesus then is left by himself. And then here's this young boy that John Mark is telling about. And the soldiers grab hold of the sheet. And then the young boy just lets go of that sheet and gets out of that sheet and runs back home and runs into the dark. And so the soldiers don't get him. And it is thought that that is also John Mark, that John Mark was talking about himself in the third person. Okay, well, this is, and now John Mark is mentioned at the end of Acts chapter 12, and he goes with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, except he only gets maybe about a fourth of the way through, and for a reason that is never detailed, he leaves and goes back home. So he may have gotten homesick. There's all kind of speculation. For the last 2,000 years, they've speculated why John Mark left Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. But whatever the reason was, it burned Paul down. And when it came time for the second missionary journey, the Apostle Paul did not want any part of John Mark. And there was no way he was going to entertain taking John Mark on the second missionary journey. And so he and Barnabas, that was part of the reason for a split. And so this is John Mark, who's mentioned here at the end, and But that being said, Peter takes John Mark under his wing after this, through the years, and Peter, John Mark is dearly beloved to Peter, and then also later on, Paul completely, he does 180 degrees, and he changes his mind years later about John Mark, and he, in one of his letters, he writes how much he appreciates John Mark. So that's a kind of a background. And then also, then after Peter goes and lets this group of Christian that's living in John Mark and his mother's house there, that where they are gathered. He lets them know that he's been released, and then Peter goes into hiding. And Kaufman said there's all kind of speculation of where he went, but there's no possible way that we can know because Luke doesn't tell us, and Peter never tells us, and Paul never wrote about it, about where he went, but he went into hiding somewhere, and we don't hear about Peter coming back into Jerusalem until some 6 or 7 years into the future. This is 44 AD, and we know that because what we'll be covering here today, King Herod, God kills King Herod now, and he ends this because, reasons, but here he is, he's persecuting, and he's going, he has intentions of killing all of the apostles, and well, God can't have that. He allowed him to kill one, but that was all. And so now God is going to end Herod's life, this gives us a hard date in time of when this Acts chapter 12 is, and it's 44 AD. And then Acts 15, here three chapters on, is where, for the first time, Peter comes back into Jerusalem, or at least the first time that it's recorded, and that's 50 AD. So 6 to 7 years into the future that that we hear about Peter. So we don't know how long he was in hiding, but he was in hiding for some time because they are after Peter after this. And the word, the phraseology that Luke used here is from verse 18, that there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. And I'll read verse 19 again, and just to recap where we left off last week. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, Peter, of course, Herod examined the guards and commanded that the guards should be put to death. And then, here's the sentence, and then King Herod went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Okay, and then this rest through verse 24 is about King Herod and about his death. But any questions or comments on anything up to this point? Kaufman said about this King Herod going to Caesarea, there at Caesarea, God would terminate the ability of Herod to harass and persecute the Christians. Claudius, the emperor of Rome and personal friend of Herod, had just returned from a journey to Britain, an event celebrated widely throughout the ancient empire. Herod was presiding over extensive games and ceremonies honoring the emperor at Caesarea in 44 AD. During those festivities, Herod was cut down, as revealed in the next paragraph. Verse 20. 20 through 23 we'll read. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied by food, with food by the king's country. And so on a day set, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god, not of a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck King Herod because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. Okay. Kaufman said, Josephus also documented, Josephus was a Jewish historian, and he wrote this book, historical account, known as the History of the Jews is what he titled it, and it's a 500, maybe 1,000 pages. It's extensive. And he wrote about all the Jewish history of whatever was recorded and probably hearsay. But he put all the way through the Egypt beforehand with the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He gave an account of all of that all the way through. He wrote a history of everything, and then all of the captivities that the Israelites went through. He wrote a history on all that. Now, he was living in the first century, so he was alive actually here at this time. And he was alive and in Jerusalem when Jesus was crucified. But anyway, so he's probably an eyewitness to this with King Herod. He's probably here in Caesarea. They were celebrating Caesar, and so they threw some games in what it sounded like, that it was like these Greek and Roman games, very similar to our Olympic games type thing, and in celebration of Caesar. And this is the occasion that God had him cut down, struck with this, with these worms, and died. And so it was very publicly known. Anyway, Josephus wrote about this. And so this is the excerpt that Kaufman took from Josephus' Book of Antiquities. That was the name of his book, the Book of Antiquities. And Josephus wrote, "When Agrippa had reigned 3 years over Judea, he exhibited shows in honor of Caesar. On the second day of the shows, he put on a garment made completely of silver and came into the theater early in the morning. The silver of his garment reflected the sun's rays, spreading a fear over those that looked. His loyal citizens cried from all around him that he was a god, adding, 'Be merciful to us, for although we have previously reverenced you only as a man, from now on we will honor you as a superior to mortal man,'" so as a god. "Suddenly a severe pain arose in his belly and began in a most violent manner. Herod said, 'I, whom you call a god, am presently commanded to depart this life. I am bound to accept what providence assigns.'" That was the end of the quote. And so Kaufman said, "If we may depend on what Josephus says to the effect that Herod disapproved of the blasphemous compliments of his citizens, then we have new light on what Luke meant by 'he did not give glory to God' from verse 23. This means that he did not give God the glory for releasing Peter, a refusal that could have originated in nothing else than his pride and stubbornness. Given the nature of the prison and the extent of Peter's guards," and see, this prison was impenetrable, and it would have taken an army, a whole group of people, to break anyone out, and none of that, of course, happened. So this was a very secure prison that King Herod knew that this had to be a work of God, that this was not any kind of a prison break, and Peter definitely didn't break out on his own. But so as a result of this prison being so secure, and he had 16 men, guards, assigned to guarding Peter, 8 on the day shift and 8 on the night shift, and which was massive overkill, of course, but he wanted to make sure that Peter didn't get away. Well, he got away anyway. So Kaufman's comment is, "Herod knew that God had delivered him from the prison, but he would not give God the glory, putting 16 innocent men to death to emphasize his denial. This was exactly the same kind of conduct as that of the Pharisees, who decided to kill Lazarus to prevent people from believing in Jesus, who had raised him from the dead. This was not a sin of ignorance on the part of Herod. He was a Jew. He knew the true God, and he was aware of the evils of idolatry. Luke described the manner in which Herod died as he was eaten by worms. This description leaves much to the imagination, but one can be sure it implies a slow, painful death and dreadful way to die. The Greek word translated as worms in this passage was describing intestinal worms. There are several cases recorded in the ancient history of such deaths. Josephus says that King Herod lingered for 5 days and says that the rotting of his flesh produced worms. Herod died, what a simple way to state the demise of the one who is a murderer of an apostle and an opponent of God's kingdom. Herod now waits for judgment day to face the same Jesus whom he so bitterly opposed. Herod's death took place in 44 AD in the 7th year of his reign and at the age of 54. So he was 54 years old. He had been king for 7 years, and this was 44 AD. Now, here it was also mentioned that I read earlier that this was in the 3rd year of his reign over Judea. And I looked that up. Kaufman did not explain that. Here we got in the 3rd year of his reign and then the 7th year of his reign. But I looked it up on the internet, and what it was, King Herod had been king for 7 years. And two different times, I guess, Caesar had given him broader jurisdiction. So after 2 or 3 years, he got a bigger two or three other territories added to his reign. And then 3 years before he died, he got a third province increase on his reign that included Judea. So that's why he died in the 3rd year, and that's what Josephus recorded. It was the 3rd year of his rule over Judea is the year that he died, but he had been king for 7 years, but only 3 years over Jerusalem and Judea. Any questions or comments on any of this?